Hello and welcome to the Feminine Millionaire Show. I'm your host, Polly Alexander, and I'm a success coach, healer, creative, and future millionaire. If creating money and success in a spiritual and feminine way is your goal, this show is for you. Understand how to overcome your past, bring your soul's greatest gifts to the world, and uplevel your income, impact, joy, and happiness. Join me each week to be inspired and uplifted as you learn the business, mindset, energetic, and spiritual shifts you can make to create your own wildly abundant life and business. Let's all rise together. I am super excited to have Amy Small on the show today. Amy is the creator and founder of Knit Collage, a business she's built over the last 11 years. At Knit Collage, she does everything from designing yarns and knitting patterns to managing all the day-to-day tasks of running a creative small business. And she also teaches knitting online through the two biannual knit-alongs she hosts. At the heart of Knit Collage is this idea that it's important to lean into all the things that make us weird or set us apart. Interests that others might not get. And Amy really believes that these are our secret weapons. They make us unique and that they become our superpowers. Welcome, Amy.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Polly. It's awesome to be here.
You are so much fun. What you've created is just phenomenal. I'm really excited to share with people. And first up, congratulations on your new baby, Barrett.
Thank you so much. He is hanging out with me sleeping in my office. So hopefully we will have smooth sailing as we record this. I'm so excited to be talking to you today.
Thank you. And I love that Barrett's with us today, because one of the philosophies of this podcast is all about being a millionaire in both life and business. And I think what you're doing is showing up with your baby and bringing him into your business and not allowing yourself to have to choose between family and business. So I'm excited to ask you more about how you do that later on. But let's rewind 11 years to when you started your business. Can you tell us all a bit about how you got started?
Yeah, definitely. So I started as a sweater designer right out of college, and I was designing sweaters for a company called Free People, which Americans might know. It's a part of Urban Outfitters, and it was an incredible experience. I got to travel all over the world. My first day of work was in Hong Kong, and I learned a ton, and it was awesome, but I worked a lot. I didn't have a life. And at some point, I decided I wanted to sort of shift gears from the fast fashion world and try something else. And on the side, I had been spinning yarn, which if anyone in your audience is wondering, what the heck is hand spinning yarn? I know it's pretty wild. It's a small creative niche. And what I do is I have fiber, I have a spinning wheel, and I actually was spinning my own yarn designs on the side when I was working at Free People. And I thought, maybe I can turn this into a business. I don't see any yarns like this out in the world. Maybe there's a way to sell this to the knitting and the crocheting world. But again, I knew nothing about those markets or industries. I just thought, hey, maybe I can try this. So that is what I did. I quit my job at Free People and I decided to give it a go. And before I quit my job, I locked in a bunch of freelance jobs as a sweater designer. So I think I was working like 5 or 6 different freelance jobs. And that worked out well because it allowed me the time and space to set my own schedule and do the work on the business that I really wanted to prioritize and get off the ground first. So I would do my Knit Collage stuff and then in the afternoon kind of work on everything else. And that's sort of how it all got started. And of course, it evolved from me spinning every skein of yarn. We now spin our yarn in India. I work with a team of 13 women that hand spin our yarn there that we've been working with for 11 years, which is crazy. Many of them are the same women that we started out with way back when. I think it was 2010. Yeah, so that's sort of how it all got started.
right in the beginning, did you have a vision or was it more organic how it grew? Did you think, I want to build this amazing knit business and take knit to so many people? Or what did it just sort of happen? I'm curious to see how much was kind of planned and how much was organic.
Oh my gosh, it was not planned at all. I had no business plan. I probably did everything that you're not supposed to do. When you start a business, it was really, I think what was on my mind, it was like, I love doing this. It's so fun. It feels like me. It feels completely unique. And can I make a living? Like, that was as far as my aspirations got. Can I sort of comp what I made at Free People? And can I support myself with this? But it wasn't like I had big dreams of having a team and having a mission or an impact that I wanted to bring to people that went beyond just these yarns.
I love that. So you chose something you love doing that was really fun and really you. That's so cool. And did you have any fears when you were starting your business? Or were you so caught up in the joy and the creativity of it that, you know, I'm curious what came up for you at that point?
There was a lot of fear, I think. In the beginning, when I was working all these freelance jobs, it worked well because I was making enough money to sort of support myself while I got the business off the ground, which wasn't making a ton of money. But then I decided to move back to the States. I was living in Hong Kong, actually, when I started my business. And my then fiance and I decided to move back to the States. I moved back to my parents' basement, which was humbling, to say the least. And I quit all those freelance jobs. So suddenly, the business had to really support me. And I think that's when the fear and the anxiety really took hold, because it wasn't a fully baked plan. I didn't have a lot of savings. I didn't have it was like a leap of faith. And I didn't necessarily have a safety net set up for myself. So that's where a lot of the fear came to be. And one of the biggest things that was just a challenge for me is I was raised in a household where, it's so interesting. So my dad is a financial advisor, and you'd think that I would have been raised understanding the ins and outs of keeping track of my own bank account and the way the money came in and out of my business. But for whatever reason, he really never taught us that. And I think a little bit of it was a little bit of like the kind of like 1950s sexism, where it was like, maybe if I was a boy, I would have been taught that. But it was much more like, I'm taking care of you, is kind of the way that he raised my sisters and I. And so I did not have a firm handle on the finances of my business, how the P&L worked, like all that stuff in the beginning years. And that caught up to me at some point, because you can't support yourself and you can't run a business unless you know what's going on with the numbers of your business. So I had to kind of have a reckoning around that. But that's really where like all of that past stuff kind of came back to haunt me when I moved into my parents' basement. And it was like, oh shit, I have to figure this out now.
So tell us a bit about when this point of like, I used to call it like an avoidant relationship to money. I used to kind of, as a photographer, I would just kind of avoid it. I would mainly focus on what I love doing, focus on the photography. Once a year, I would look at my tax and think, oh God, I've got to look at the numbers. And somehow it just about worked, but it was precarious and I was lurching around with no real control. So at what point did it all sort of hit the wall for you?
Yes. So that is exactly, that is exactly how I was. It was like, oh, I don't see it. It must be fine. And then taxes roll around. I'm like, oh, okay. What's going on? Basically, it went from that place of being sort of okay / not okay to really, really bad in 2016, which is when my first son was born. And at this point, I had relegated the financial side of the business to my husband, who has a MBA. And you can see there's some pattern there of like, oh, my dad handled this for me and now my husband's handling this for me. And that did not serve me at all. And he just didn't have the time. He was working a full-time job. We were new parents. He didn't have the time to stay on top of it. And I think it was, I forget what time of year it was, but he told me, he must have been catching up on it at some point. And he said, you know, you are $90,000 down this year. And it came as this complete shock. Like, excuse me, what? I thought I was doing okay.
So you're actually making a loss at this point.
Yes. Huge loss. Yes. And I had a credit line. So it kind of all went on there. And it was a complete shock. There were some nights on the bathroom floor just crying. I remember one night where my friends had invited me out to dinner and I couldn't go. I couldn't make myself go because I was so distraught about this and I didn't know how to get myself out of the headspace of where I was then. And that debt really felt like a burden. And so that debt had been accruing, but I hadn't been checking it. And it was really all on me, right? And so what happened was it was a long process getting to where I am now. But what happened was I really took ownership over the finances. And how that came to be is I sort of followed my curiosity. What I realized is that I had been trying to figure everything out in my business by myself for the first 5-6 years. And that wasn't working. I saw a friend post on Instagram about the book, The E-Myth, which is a great business book for people starting out. And I listened to that book and it spoke to everything I was going through. And I decided to hire a coach, which when you're in debt and you hire a coach to help you, a business coach, it's pretty scary. But that was the best decision I made. And what she taught me to do is all my finances, how to run the P&L, the balance sheet, how to take ownership over that myself so that I didn't have to rely on anybody else. And that's sort of where things started to change. I think that was probably the turning point. I realized I needed to take ownership over the money stuff myself, but also I realized that there was this wealth of resources out there for me as a small business owner that I didn't have to do it all myself. And some of that was like, yeah, business coach, but some of it was also personal development and changing some of the thoughts and some of the mindset stuff I had going on around money too. So I think just like following this curiosity breadcrumb trail and learning and reading and spending the time changing that is what sort of led me on the path to where I am now. But it took a long time. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I think it's so easy to look from the outside and think, oh, that person's just really talented. They're just really good at everything. And that's why they're successful. And so I really thank you for your honesty, because we're going to come to where you are now, which is incredible in a moment. I think it's very honest of you to share that actually it hasn't always been like that and that you could have almost lost your business.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I would be in business if my coach hadn't come into play. And then I started these knit-alongs, and that's really what changed it. And I started launching these knit-alongs. And that is really when I started to realize, oh, okay, like I might have something here. And it didn't get me out of debt overnight. Actually, I totally paid down my debt just a year ago. So it took me a long time to pay that all down. But it was like, I could see this glimmer of hope, like things can change. Things can start to change and I can start to see some positive momentum. And I actually did a lot of like visualization and journaling on what I, you know, you talked about the beginning, I didn't really have goals for the business. Some of that, like what I really wanted for the business going forward and the kind of future I wanted for myself. And I'm a big believer in the power of visualizing what you want down the road. I think it made a huge difference for me.
Tell us about the knit-alongs, because you've tantalizingly dropped that in.
Yes.
But I think most people are not going to know just how awesome they are.
So this would have been, I guess it was like 2017. So it was sort of right after I got this business coach and I decided I was going to try to do a knit along, which is basically in a nutshell, it is a community event where we all knit the same thing at the same time as a group. And I teach, so the customers get an online class where they learn how to knit each style we are knitting from start to finish. They get the yarn and the tools they need to complete each project. They get the community. We have Zoom and a Facebook group. And then we actually have two dedicated knitting teachers who help them over Zoom too, through Sign Up Genius. People are able to sign up and get Zoom help sessions when they need it. Because one of the biggest problems in knitting is you are going strong on your project. You hit a roadblock and then you just toss it aside. You do need a lot of help to get to the finish line. So those are our knit alongs. And in that first one, I think it was 2017, I can remember that first day we launched that first knit along. I think 70 people signed up. And it was just sort of through my own email list. I'd always sold yarn wholesale. I'd never really done anything direct to our customers. And it was where I felt this huge shift. Like, oh my gosh, I can have my own relationship with our customers, not through all of these wholesale mom and pop yarn shops. I can actually kind of do my own thing and speak to them myself and just be me and see what resonates. And it worked. And it was still small. It wasn't like this major launch or anything, but it showed me what was possible. And it set me on a whole different path and a different mindset about the business. So that's sort of what our knit-alongs are about. Now we host them twice a year. And I think this past knit along, we had about 1,200 people join in from all over the world.
Amazing. Amazing. Let's fast forward to where your business is now, because you have had the most phenomenal growth over the last year. And I would love you to share about, you've just touched on that, 1,200 people is incredible.
Yeah. So this past year, 2020, we hit 7 figures. So that was like something I never could have imagined in my life would be possible. And if any of your listeners go and check out just how crazy this yarn is, it's crazy yarn. It is a small, small niche. So if you think that your niche is too small, like, it's not. I doubt it is. I think actually small niches, if you can set yourself apart, you can be the only one, right, in that small niche. If it's really, really unique, it can provide an opportunity. This past year has been incredible. We have a membership now called the Creative Knitters Membership, where we have about 400 members and we do lots of knit alongs together and lots of learning classes, community. So the business has become a little bit more complex with the membership and the knit alongs and everything else we're doing, but it's grown a lot and it's helped that people have been knitting during the pandemic for sure. I realize that timing has been good for us. Of course, I so hope they stick with it post-pandemic.
Yeah, I would love to hear what the impact of COVID has been on your business.
We were already, with our knit-alongs, doing everything on Zoom, and all the classes were delivered digitally through Teachable. So we were just set up to connect and offer people an outlet for their knitting and a way to connect through our knit-alongs when the pandemic came along. And knitting has so many benefits. It can relax us. It is a form of self-care for sure. So I really leaned into that element of it. And the knit-alongs, since COVID started, we've also offered restorative yoga, some meditation, some other ways to kind of supplement the entire experience and make it just as good as we can for our customers. So a lot of people signed up during COVID. I think it might have even been double from pre-pandemic to post-pandemic. I think the numbers doubled. So we were sort of set up. We had the framework in place and it really resonated people post-March 2020.
I think one of the things that you do so beautifully is connection, that you build community in such a powerful way that people want to be a part of it. And I definitely feel it with all the isolation, there was a craving for connection, but also fun.
Yes.
And escapism. And it was that opportunity to try cooking, you know, all these things that we always sort of had on the back burner. It was like, now's your chance. If you want to bake bread, you want to learn to knit, you want to like finally take that course, this is your time.
Yes, absolutely. And We had one lady who she joined. Usually I say, you need to know how to knit and purl. That's it. We can teach you the rest. But we've had a couple people join that have not known how to knit at all. And so we've taught them from scratch. And this one lady, Kathy, she joined and she said it helped her. She had been a lifelong alcoholic. It helped her stay sober. She just went to her knitting whenever she felt that urge to have a drink. And she knit, I think she knit like 3 sweaters in the course of 2 or 3 months, which is unbelievable because it took me like 10 years to get to that skill set, that knitting career. And she achieved it so much faster. So there's that side of it where it was fun and it was connection and it was creative and pretty. But then for some of our community members, it really helped them get through this tough time too.
I believe that we all need a creative outlet. I believe it's essential for our well-being, our self-expression, our balance, whether we consider ourselves an artist or want to do it professionally or not. I believe that within everybody is this desire for creative expression that needs an outlet. And your community, they are so creative. I've seen what they make. It's incredible.
No, I love that you said that because I completely feel the same way. And I love when people take our patterns and our yarns and then just do whatever they want with them, whatever feels like them or whatever creative tangent or direction they want to go with. It's so incredibly inspiring. And that's why I think you read that in my bio. The business is all about leaning into that creative self-expression, whatever it might be for you. Don't do what we're doing. You do you. That's what we're trying to inspire. And also to create a safe space for that, like a non-judgmental safe space to be creative in whatever way that resonates with you. Because I think, I don't know, I just think it's so easy to get caught up in fitting in and trying to look like everybody else and not leaning in to that creative side that kind of sends you off in weird tangents, whatever it might be. So I love that you just said that. I'm such a believer in that too. I hate it. It's like my pet peeve when people say, oh, I'm not creative. I could never do that. I truly believe everybody is creative.
100% on the same page there. I've got to ask you, whilst we're on this subject, what are your feelings about perfectionism?
Oh, this is so interesting because we get a lot of perfectionist knitters. And I probably unsurprisingly am not a perfectionist when it comes to my knitting. I am very much like, oh, that mistake, that's a design element. Let's keep going.
I love that. It's not an imperfection, it's a design feature.
That's exactly. So I try to loosen up those people a bit and take it a little bit less seriously because I think sometimes that can almost be a prison for our creativity. You get so into, does this stitch line up with that stitch? And you kind of miss out on the fun and the freedom of it. So I always try to kind of loosen things up when I get somebody like that on Zoom. But it's so funny now, I think I've attracted a real community of non-perfectionist knitters. So sometimes we'll get someone like that on Zoom and I'll gently try to encourage them to loosen up a bit. And then I'll have this chorus of other people that chime in and that say, it looks great as it is. Don't worry about it. You don't need to count your stitches. There's no need. You know, I always say, if it really bothers you, you got to rip out. Ripping is a big part of knitting. You have to rip out your work a lot. And that's usually where the learning is. If you made a big mistake, of course, if you're knitting a sweater, you want it to fit. So there is an element of that. I try to lean into and teach people, you know, that's where the learning is. And it might be learning a new skill, but it might also be, okay, this is about patience. I am learning to just go with the flow, be in the process, and I have to learn some patience around this project. It's not going to be an overnight knit like it is for some other people in the group. And that's all good. Patience is like my one major character flaw. So I always feel like my knitting is trying to teach me to be a more patient person.
I love that you shared that because I've read my own life lessons and one of them is patience for this lifetime. I'm like, I read for other people and sometimes theirs is joy or laughter. I'm like, mine are patience, perseverance, being bold. And there's a couple of others, but I really resonate with patience. And I was just thinking as you were sharing that, it's like the knitting is kind of a metaphor for life. It's teaching you As you go, right? It's teaching you to accept when things are imperfect. It's teaching you to be patient. It's teaching you to seek out support. It's really interesting.
It is powerful. I always say it's not just about the yarn and the knitting. It's about so much more than that. And a lot of people do think, yeah, it's just yarn. It's just knitting. And in a way it is. But I think what we can learn and what we can get out of it is so much more than that. And it's had such a big effect. There is this one sweater that I knit probably like 3 years ago, and it changed knitting for me. It was like the trash bag sweater. I had a trash bag full of yarn, and I would sit on the couch and just knit one color after another. And I really got into this creative flow state, and it took me, I think, 9 months to complete. It just was art. And ever since then, like the way that I show up in the world and I express myself and the way that I knit and I bring patterns and yarns into the world for our community is totally different. It changed everything. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, it brought me back to like how I felt as a creative kid, you know, like just like, yeah, let's make a mess with the paints. Let's go crazy. That kind of gets stamped out of you as you grow up in the world, like trying to fit in and support yourself and all that good stuff. And that sweater really brought me back to this creative childlike freedom that I don't think I even knew I was missing. And now I will not let go of it for anything.
I love it. I love it. You have to have it framed. Make Barrett wear it as he grows up.
It's so funny. And it's the sweater that still gets like the most likes if I ever post it anywhere.
It's like the magic sweater. It's got so much magical energy in it.
Yeah.
What has been another surprise about growing your business, would you say?
I guess one of the things that's been the hardest probably for me is I have always worked alone until about 2019. And so bringing on a team, now there's four of us full-time and I think five part-time people. So we have a pretty big team, not to mention the team in India. That's been a really big challenge for me because I am so used to doing everything myself. I think for 8 years, I did everything myself. So just letting people in to take over some of the things that I do and take things off my plate has been really hard. Actually, having this baby was a good exercise in delegation because I just had to. I really wanted to take a maternity leave. I never did with my other two kids because I wasn't in a financial place to be able to. So to be able to actually delegate and know that the business is running fine, I'm checking in. I am working a little bit here and there, but for the most part, it's running without me. That has been so awesome. That was a big challenge for me. And I think just a mental block I had to get through. Like, I'm not going to grow unless I start delegating. And I can't do all of these tasks myself anymore as the business grows and gets more complex.
What's your secret to being able to balance motherhood as now a mom of three and running a business? Like, what are the things you've had to do or let go of in order to make this actually happen?
I love that you said let go. The house is a big mess right now. I'm a big fan in getting help in childcare. I know some moms are adverse to this. And I think at least for me, I need some just me time every day. Like before we hopped on this podcast, I have a 2-week-old, but I went for a 30-minute run and I just cleared my head and it felt really nice to just be by myself for 30 minutes for the day. So I really need that. And by the time he's 3 months, we'll likely have a full-time person helping us or some kind of daycare going on. So that's been a big part of it. I also am very clear about my boundaries. So I work when they're in school, which is 8 to 3 every day. And then I am with them the rest of the day. And so that, I think just setting up that strict schedule for myself, okay, these are your work hours and these are your family time hours has been important. I try not to sweat the small stuff that much. I think right now it's hard because I don't really want help with the newborn baby. but I have to sacrifice the house looking like a tornado and being a little bit tired and us all eating, you know, chicken nuggets and stuff like that. I feel like right now it's tough because it's like, I don't really want anyone in my space. I just want to be with the baby by myself. But yet all this other stuff is bothering me. So, but I think the newborn stage is so short, right? Like we're going to be out of it before we know it. And hopefully life will be a little more back to normal soon.
What's your vision for the company over the next 5 years?
Ooh, that's a good one. So I'm thinking a lot about impact, and that kind of goes back to inspiring people through creative self-expression. That is like the big why of why we do what we do at Knit Collage. So that is where I want to put my focus. And I'm not sure if that means kind of growing our membership or maybe doing some kind of coaching program or just leaning into the yarn and kind of expanding what we do there. I'm not totally sure yet, but all of those things are percolating in my mind. And actually, I did this mastermind weekend a couple weekends ago. One of the things that came up for me was that I can kind of do that vision through all the things I do. It doesn't have to be like, okay, now I'm doing a coaching program on creative self-expression. It can actually be kind of woven into all the things that we offer at Knit Collage. So I'm percolating on all that right now, but I don't have a super clear vision. This year, it's really been all about team and taking stuff off my plate. And so that's kind of like where I am this year, is just focusing on getting the team completely up and running.
And if you were to isolate a couple of things that took your business, let's say from multi-six to seven figures.
Well, I'm a big fan of getting a coach, any kind of guidance classes that can help you, because it's likely that whatever got you to where you are now is not going to get you to that next level. So I am a big fan in investing in coaching, mastermind programs, anything that resonates with you.
You've mentioned team. Obviously, that was a key part.
Yeah. I mean, this might sound really cheesy, but I'm such a big fan of authenticity. And it's something I always go back to, like, does this feel authentic to me? Does this feel like my voice? I think the more we lean into like our own inner voice and our own sort of gut intuition, the more our business resonates with other people, because no one else can really be you or do you, whatever your unique thing is that you want to bring to the world. So I try to always kind of like check in with my intuition, my authenticity, and do everything with a lot of that in mind. I think that served me really well. If I ever start like comparing, despairing, and looking at other people, like it gets me in a negative place. And I have a hard time thinking about what I like. What are the designs I like? What do I want to share with my community? So I try to always go back to that.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And if you were to describe Amy in three words, I'm putting you on the spot here. Get that creative juices flowing.
Ooh. Well, I would say, I think authentic would be one. I think unique would be one. I try to go to the, you know, the beat of my own drum. And mm-hmm. I think something about community, you touched on our community earlier. I think we have a really incredible community. So I think it would be something around maybe like attracting a good community or creating a space where people feel free to be themselves. I think that's one of the things I'm good at. I don't know what word that is, but many words. I think that's something I'm good at, is creating a community and a safe space for people at Knit Collage.
Beautiful. I love that. How can people find out more about you and the knit-alongs?
Yes. So definitely head on over to my website. You can sign up for my newsletter. If we have any knitters out there, we have a fun free class you can sign up for to knit. It's either a shawl or a pillow. and you can sign up for our newsletter that way. And Instagram's a great way too. I've been a little bit less active on Instagram recently.
You've been on like every day. She's been on every day with a newborn baby, multiple times. But it looks like that to me.
Well, I used to do all these dancing videos and you know, just be really silly on there. And I haven't been doing it in a long time. So I have not been a great place to get started. And I share a lot of our community's work there too. So you can see what everybody's making with our yarn there too.
Yeah. Amazing. I actually think your Instagram is awesome and very vibrant and lively, even if you are in a more subdued phase right now.
I promise it will get more lively in the next 3 months.
There's two questions I'm dying to finish off with. The first one is, what are you knitting Barrett?
Oh my gosh. Well, I have knit him so many things, Poppy. So he's good right now on knitted things. I have knit him many sweaters and shorts and onesies. So he's good right now. Right now, I'm actually knitting a very boring shawl. And I think it's all I have the bandwidth for. So it's very simple. I'm just knitting a very simple shawl. It's part of a knit along with some of my friends who are knitting YouTubers.
Oh, cool. And the last question is, what's true abundance for you?
Ooh, I love this question. And I've been thinking about it. So I think for me, abundance is being my most authentic version of myself and getting to do the work I want to do, where I get to be that authentic version of myself. And getting paid for it, like getting to live this life that I never dreamed possible because of it. That's what feels like abundance to me. And probably something in there around time freedom. I'm not quite there yet, but we've talked a lot about team. And I think being able to decide what I want to spend my time on, that feels like abundance to me. So not quite there yet, but hopefully very soon.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So time freedom, but also an authentic expression and being able to run a business that represents who you are as an extension of your expression. I love it. Thank you so much for sharing so openly and with such a sense of fun. I think that's one of your most beautiful qualities, aside from your authenticity, your creativity, your ability to create community, but your sense of fun.
Thank you so much, Polly.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I said that was my last question, but I'm feeling called to ask you to give a word of advice to other creatives who think, wow, like I can barely even dream of running a 7-figure business doing what I love. What word of advice would you have to them?
Yeah, I think I can think of two. I think watch your thoughts carefully. When I was in that place of huge debt, my thoughts were really negative and there was a lot of scarcity and fear. And I did not think I would ever be able to get out of that place. And it took me very aggressively changing my thought patterns and really watching my thoughts to shift them to a, no, wait, this can change. This is possible. And once I started to see some actual momentum, we had our first knit along, it became a lot easier. But when you're kind of in that stage where you haven't seen something like happen yet, it can be really hard. But just trust that you've just got to make those baby step mind shift changes from that fear and scarcity place into one of anything is possible. Anything can happen. It definitely has for me, and I am in the weirdest business ever. So it can for you too. And it takes time. Not like this, it's taken me a long time to build. And I know a lot of people who have built businesses bigger than mine in less time, but don't beat yourself up if it also takes you time. That doesn't mean you're failing. It doesn't mean you're not on the right path for you. It takes time.
Wise words. Back to that lesson of patience. I feel the same way. It's like, wow, it's taken me so long.
I know. And we do. I feel like in our world, Polly, we hear stories about people that have $1 million businesses after 2 years. And I'm like, well, I can't I can't say that about me, myself. It's taken quite a long time.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I'm like, I don't get triggered by comparisonitis. Now I'm just like, oh, that's awesome. That's super cool. Like, that was your journey. That was your path. I had different things to learn. I had a different journey. And it is all about the journey and doing it in a way that's authentic to us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome.
Amazing. Thank you for being such a fun guest. All the best with your journey. I look forward to seeing how the vision grows.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Feminine Millionaire Show. I just loved Amy's interview. I loved her persistence, her patience, her honesty. And I loved what she's bringing to the world, the power of community and creativity. So, so inspiring. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love a review on iTunes. That would mean a lot to me and help attract more people to the show. Have a beautiful, fun, abundant, and creative week, and I'll be back with you again next week. Bye for now.